Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, yes, the question, the battle for information as Kamala Harris is speaking in Pennsylvania. J.D. Vance also wrapping up a rally in Pennsylvania as well. All eyes on Battleground PA. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. I appreciate you being here. And big shout out to our own associate producer, Kirk. He and his wife, Sandy, will be celebrating 25 years of marriage tomorrow. That's great news. Good stuff. So happy early anniversary, you guys. I will try to remember to wish you a happy anniversary again tomorrow. But most likely people on the YouTube chat will do that for me. And I appreciate that. We are streaming live on YouTube right now. Joining the fun, 1210 WPHT. So youtube.com/1210WPHT. And just a reminder, we'll be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, December 20th. I want to jump back into this John Stossel video because he gets into Nina Jankowicz and the information, the disinformation. There's a lot to unpack here about what's happening in our country. I remember back, and so Kirk, if you could cue it up to where we stopped it, and then I'll tell you to play in just a second. I remember where we were back in 2014 or so. You know, when I started as a full-time talk show host, and where we were is we had just gone through this period of conservatives kind of had surrendered for years a lot of the Fourth Amendment. And, you know, at the time it was all keep us safe from terrorists. I don't care. I just don't want to get blown up by a terrorist. So whatever you got to do, you know, spy on me, read my emails. I've done nothing wrong. I have nothing to fear. We woke up from that coma in 2016, thank God. We woke up from that coma after we saw them use all those powers against Donald Trump to stop him from winning the presidency. The coma that I fear that we're going into right now is the coma around the censorship of the internet in the name of keeping the children safe or keeping us safe from China. And my fear is that just like we had this fear of terrorists after 9/11, and the powerful people took advantage of those fears to unleash an entire set of new powers over the American people. And we voluntarily surrendered our liberty in the name of keeping us safe. And I told you back then, my Cioli axiom, if you've been with me since day one, you know this, you've heard me say this before. If you give up your liberty in the name of the government keeping you safe, they will weaponize whatever power you give them for political purposes. I mean, watch that play out in 2016. As they try to stop Donald Trump from becoming president. Then they did it again in 2020 with the Hunter Biden laptop. They did it again. The very same people, because we have weaponized the government in such a way, we have enabled them to be this powerful. And the tentacles go so deep. It's almost like Hydra. You know, if you cut off one head, two more take its place. Give you a little Captain America reference because I haven't made my daily superhero reference in quite some time. But that's an important thing to think about right there. In the sense of that. So when I say we're at a crossroads here, what I mean is that the government will continue to weaponize the government for the purposes of controlling information, your ability to not only say different opinions, but to hear different opinions in the public square. Because the First Amendment works two ways. It's not just what you say, it's also what you hear. You have the right to hear from speakers who disagree with the government so that you can form your own opinions. But if all those speakers are silenced because of either disinformation or hate speech or both, then you can't hear different opinions. Therefore, you can only go with whatever opinion is offered to you. And then you're not allowed to be a critical thinker. And that's ultimately what the goal is. So let's take a listen to more of the John Stossel, if you could. Go ahead.
In a drunken stupor, dropped off his laptop in, I guess, apparently QAnon repair office, right?
Obviously, Russian interference, said the media.
It's likely Russian disinformation.
It is so obviously a Russian operation.
Twitter's bosses wouldn't even let users decide for themselves. They labeled the post report potentially harmful and blocked users from sharing it. Facebook was sneakier. They suppressed the story instead of banning it outright. Of course, now the media admit the post story was true.
Several news organizations have authenticated many emails from the laptop.
So the media, who smeared this as a Russian plot, do they now admit they were wrong? No. They just say things like,
Nobody cares about Hunter Biden's laptop.
Bad as the media were. What's worse is that government wanted to censor.
We've done nothing in terms of content regulation or in terms of content oversight.
Senator Mark Warner and some other politicians recklessly proposed using government force. Fortunately, that never happened. But government did apply lots of pressure.
We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation.
The White House even urged Facebook to crack down on private messages on WhatsApp. We'll never know about all the government's attempts to censor. But now that Twitter's new CEO opened his books, we can see some of the things government tried to do.
Moderation requests from every corner of government, from the FBI, the DHS, the HHS, DOD.
The CIA and State Department. And even individual politicians, Maine Senator Angus King's staff, complained about accounts that were anti-King. Congressman Adam Schiff's office asked Twitter to remove content, suspend many accounts, and suppress search results. To Twitter's credit, a staffer responded, "No, we don't do this." At one point, the Department of Homeland Security created something they called a disinformation governance board.
My favorite part
here. Its boss posted this video.
They're laundering disinfo and we really should take notes and not support their lies with our wallet, voice, or vote.
That was a step too far for the public.
The Biden administration is facing fierce backlash for convening a group called the Disinformation Governance Board.
Homeland Security terminated the board. Still, lots of government agencies wanted to control what you read and heard. Often they protected us from the truth. And when they got caught, the White House casually brushed off Twitter's revelations.
Twitter was so haphazardly pushed this distraction. That is a full of old news.
Old news only because they concealed it for so long. At least today, finally, we can discuss those things we weren't allowed to say.
COVID-19 likely came from a lab leak.
The masks don't work very well.
The laptop data we had analyzed showed no evidence it was faked.
Eventually, the truth does come out. But let's not let anyone in government or out say, we'll be the gatekeepers. We know what's true. They don't.
What scares me is that we have a guy running for vice president right now who believes in all of this stuff in terms of weaponizing the government for the purposes of rooting out disinformation, misinformation and freedom of speech, hate speech, whatever it is. That's who these people are. That's who these people are. And their targets are Elon Musk. Their targets are Tucker Carlson. Their targets are anybody who steps out of line and says anything that they find to be problematic. Look, I like going a little bit in depth on these different things, but I wanted to share this with you. This is, I think I sent this to you, Matt, and thanks to Road Warrior, actually, for sending it to me. It's a clip of, actually, let me come back to that one real quick. Let me do this. Let me play Jason Bateman. I mentioned this earlier in the show. I like his acting. I think he's funny. But his politics here, this is what I mean about how much the left hates Elon Musk right now, because he has allowed the platform formerly known as Twitter to be free, but also because he's backing Donald Trump. He had Man Boy Tampon Tim on his podcast, Smartless. And this is the exchange. Take a listen. Cut number 29.
Every single car brand now has a fully electric car. And you know, I don't want to throw undue shade towards Mr. Musk, but I got to tell you, his politics is, I got rid of my Tesla. I feel like I'm driving around a Trump sticker with that car. So it's gone. And I'm now enjoying.
I call it the crypto truck.
The crypto truck. They got rid of their Tesla because of Elon Musk. All right, that's just not normal behavior. I'm sorry, but it's not normal behavior. Oh, this is fascinating news here. Matt DeSantis sent this to me. Kamala Harris's agenda for black men will be open to all, the campaign says. Vice President Harris's opportunity agenda for black men aims to shore up support from a pillar of the Democratic base, with a key section promising 1 million loans that are fully forgivable to black entrepreneurs and others to start a business. It also includes education, training, and mentorship programs that help black men get good paying jobs, legalizing recreational marijuana, and creating opportunities for Black Americans to succeed in this new industry. Translation, pot jobs or black jobs. That's really what they're saying here. Remember, Kamala Harris put away 1,900 people in California for marijuana crimes. So when she goes out there today and she says she's for legalizing it or decriminalizing it or whatever BS, she's lying. She's only, again, shifting with the wind and where she's going. That's when Tulsi Gabbard called her out for that in that debate stage back in 2019 and buried her over that fact that she went after 1,900 black people in California for low-level pot crimes. Okay? So this is who Kamala Harris is. She's a total phony. But it goes on here. Well, Harris's rhetoric suggests she will provide such benefits specifically to black men and women. It turns out that the words and others are doing a ton of work. The campaign says that the programs listed under the Black Men Agenda will be open to all Americans on a race-neutral basis. Well, you know why? Because it would be illegal otherwise. That's why. So I guess she thinks black people, black men are stupid enough to fall for this, thinking that it's only for them. I guess think of how insulting that is. Think of how insulting that is to black people. It's like, hey, listen, we're going to come out with these programs just for you. But not just for you. All right. We're only going to allow you to take advantage of these if you're a black man. Or anybody else. But only if you're black and a man with a time, and there's an asterisk there, and then you look down at the bottom, it's like you got a contract and there's an asterisk, and you go to like page like 67 and you go, hang on, I gotta go to the asterisk part, hang on, these things are only available black men, asterisk, and also every other man and woman in America regardless of race, also them too, but black men. And also everybody else. So I guess she thinks that people are that stupid where they just fall for that, right? They just go, listen, if you're a black man, I have great news for you. These programs are available to you and only you and everybody else and just you and also other people. But you, mostly. Yes, you. I'm not crossing my fingers behind my back. I'm not. What? What? Oh, was I? I didn't even notice. Look at that. That's awkward. That's really awkward right there. It's unbelievable. Do we have audio of her announcing her plan for just black men? I don't know if we do or not.
Do not have that.
I know it was a policy position she put out there on, and she mentioned some of this on Charlemagne the God. Oh, but here, you know, with going with this whole idea, here's Kamala Harris saying she's open to spending trillions on racial reparations. Here's my question. Does everybody get reparations too? It's like the only way you get reparations is if you're black and a descendant of a slave or anyone else. You also can get reparations too, but only if you're the descendant of a slave and also not a descendant of a slave. You can get them too. And that's at the very, very bottom of the page right there. Like you got to check the fine print. All right. Cut number six.
My question to you is, what's your stance on reparations? We all know that America became great, you know, off the backs of free black labor. How progressive are you on making it a priority and righting America's wrongs? It's understood that you are running for president for all people of America. Mm-hmm. Asking for specifics for black communities doesn't mean don't do for others. But black Americans are heavily asked to vote Democrat in every election for over half a century with very little in return. What are your plans to address these very important issues and change that narrative?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Zeke.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And thank you for your work. So to your point, yes, I am running to be a president for all Americans. That being said, I do have clear eyes about the disparities that exist and the context in which they exist, meaning history, to your point. So my agenda, well, first of all, on the point of reparations, it has to be studied. There's no question about that. And I've been very clear about that position. In terms of my immediate plan, I will tell you a few of the following. One, as it relates to the economy, which is a lot of what you have addressed, Look, I grew up in the middle class. My mother, worked hard, raised me and my sister.
Breaking news. You're hearing it first on this show right now at 4:18 p.m. in the afternoon. Kamala Harris grew up in a middle-class family. I did not know that. That is new. Matt DeSantis, did you know that? I was not aware of that. Did you know that before?
You think she'd mention it more frequently.
I mean, that's kind of an important thing to mention, I would imagine. You grew up in a middle-class family, and then, you know, your mother raised you, and she was a poor woman, and I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm not good at this politics thing, but sounds like, yeah, it would have been helpful information to mention before. Throwing it out there.
I guess we have to vote for her now, right?
Well, obviously, if you're in a middle-class family, you definitely do. That's a requirement.
Changes everything.
Yeah. I mean, no question. All right, keep going.
Sorry, that was it.
I just cut it at the right time. Then she goes into her opportunity agenda, which is just for black men. And also everybody who's not a black man. But only for black men. And people that aren't. You don't even have to identify as a black man. It's open to all. Like, this is our blacks-only program that's also available to everyone else who's not a black man. Only. Right. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. This is the Big Story of the Hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental.com. VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, New Jersey. On the subject of information and disinformation, participating in the audio town hall with Charlemagne the God, Kamala Harris says, one of the biggest challenges I face is mis- and disinformation. Mis- and disinformation. Cut number 7.
One of the biggest challenges that I face is mis- and disinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's purposeful because it is meant to convince people that they somehow should not believe that the work that I have done has occurred and has meaning.
Basically, if you challenge any of her past accomplishments in any way, shape, or form, that's misinformation or disinformation. Got it? Good. Now you understand the definition, because you're probably wondering, what does that mean? Huh? And remember what Alejandro Mayorkas said last week. We have to stop misinformation and disinformation. This has been the theme of the show since I got on the air at 3 o'clock. We are at a crossroads in this country, and if Kamala Harris wins, then misinformation and disinformation, and I'm using air quotes around these things, along with hate speech, these things will be illegal. They will find a way to make them illegal. Maybe in times of emergency to start, they will find a way to do this. I guarantee you this. I'm telling you, this is the crossroads. The battle for information, we are at the crossroads of this right now. Don't doubt me on this. Do not doubt me on this. That jackass Jake Auchincloss, that Democrat member of Congress from Connecticut, who said the quiet part out loud about why they want to go after TikTok, why they want to make them an American company so that they can regulate them, because they want to regulate all social media companies. And this is where we are right now. Joe's in Ben Salem. Joe, how are you today?
Hi, Rich. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure thing.
I own a company that helps keep kids safe online. And let me tell you, if they try to go that route where they're trying to regulate everything, it's impossible. I mean, every meme, every comment, there's just no way that laws are the way to go about this.
Well, I agree with you. It'll be executive orders. It'll be mandates. It won't be laws. Congress won't pass a law around these things. They will do this by executive order.
I mean, look at that. Was one of the politicians in England said he was going to arrest American citizens for comments.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing. I mean, they're doing this in countries around the world. They'll go after people for their speech, and they'll do it under the guise. Yeah. They'll say this is not protected by the First Amendment. They'll issue executive orders. I mean, we'll have to fight it out in the courts, but that's what they want to do, 100%.
And the people that are really doing this, like really trying to break the law, aren't going to care about our laws.
But what's the law, though?
Well, I'm saying whatever the law is. I mean, like, even if they got what they wanted, it wouldn't matter because the people that are trying to do it, I mean, let's face it, if laws alone were going to stop people, we wouldn't have people shooting people because we have a law, we can't do it.
Well, that's true. And that's true. But at the same time, though, they'll make you a criminal for the words you say. Because how can you, as a law-abiding citizen, fall into compliance with that if they decide that if you criticize biological men playing women's sports, that is hate speech and that's illegal? Are you going to not say it anymore? Or are you going to find yourself being a criminal?
Exactly. What that does is it hurts the everyday person rather than the real, I'm going to say real criminal, if you will.
Well, there are no criminals around speech because speech is protected. There nothing should be illegal around speech unless you're making
a
threat against one person. But they'll turn law-abiding citizens into criminals. That's what they'll do, Joe. I just don't think the analogy works with guns. I get your point about how criminals don't follow the law, but they will turn law-abiding citizens into criminals just by the words that come out of your mouth or what you utter online, you know, and that's the difference. Joe,
exactly.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not that they'd be a criminal, but they'd be a criminal in their eyes if they get what they want.
Correct. Well said. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Oliver's in South Philly. Oliver, you wanted to comment on reparations?
I did. I just wanted to know if somebody gets paid in reparations, do they sign something that says, okay, I'm square now. I can never use the black card anymore or say I'm oppressed anymore because now we've been paid back or something like that? Is there something that they would put in writing?
You mean I can no longer play the race card? Like I have to turn in my race card, like in Monopoly, you got to get up and get out of jail free card?
Correct.
Yeah,
Like, you know, politicians will never give reparations. That way they can use that card every time there's a election cycle.
Yeah, look, I mean, if you got to turn in the race card, That's a big card to give up. So that may be what stops him from actually doing it. That and the fact that it's insane and we can't afford it. Oliver, thank you. Right. It's an excellent observation. I appreciate it. 855-839-1210. All right, we got a lot more to come as the show goes on today. We're just getting warmed up. But listen, I got to share with you the craziest clip of what Bill Clinton said at Ethel Kennedy's funeral. Trump today going straight at women voters, and he brings up, and the abortion question comes up too. I thought his answer on that was excellent. But security and safety, we talk about crime on this show all the time. Well, security and safety is on all of our minds these days. Gangs taking over apartment complexes, crime soaring in cities. If you are a business owner, it's even more of a priority for you. So look no further than my friend Tom McCausland and McCausland Lock and Alarm to secure and control access to your facilities. McCausland Lock and Alarm's access control and CCTV systems provide top-of-the-line protections, giving you peace of mind and safeguarding your assets. You can get these systems from a lot of providers, but there's only one Tom McCausland. His wealth of knowledge and expertise allows McCausland to effectively protect all types of facilities, no matter what the environment. And just as important, their customer service is unmatched. When you need assistance, you'll talk to a local expert, probably Tom. You'll never be stuck in a voice message system not knowing what number to push. So if you're serious about protecting your facilities, you need to seriously consider McCausland Lock and Alarm. Call Tom at 610-430-1500. 610-430-1500. He's a good guy, and he's going to make sure your business, everything that matters to you, is protected. McCausland Lock and Alarm, 610-430-1500. Securing your business, securing your future.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You know what I was thinking, Kirk? You could bring the camera back on when the music starts because I might be dancing like Trump to it. So you can do that going forward, I think. When the music comes on, camera goes back on. What do you think? And then I'll do a little white man's overbite. You know what I mean? Like that? All right. We'll do that going forward. I like it. Hey, I want to give a shout out to two great people, two Gen Z conservative Trump supporters who also got married at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I'd like to congratulate Christina and Grant on their marriage and also thank them for being listeners of the show. And for being on our side of the aisle, too. So thank you very much. I appreciate it, you guys. Thank you. Awesome. That's great stuff. It was they got married in Cape May just a couple weeks ago on a Friday. So at our Friday show last week in Cape May was their 1 week anniversary. And had I paid attention to the text I got from Caitlin during the show on Friday, I would have given them a 1 week shout out then. But I'll give it to them right now and say congratulations on your marriage. That's great stuff, Christina and Grant. And thank you for getting married at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. That's awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. Indeed. We'll be back there December 20th for our next live show. So join us for that. Our next live show on December 20th, Friday, and it'll be our last show of the year. So make sure that you join us for that. Now, this is what you have to understand here as we continue along the show here today. And I have some new audio that I wanted to share with you as well that just kind of came in. J.D. Vance just wrapped up a speech in Williamsport, PA. And he talked about when Kamala Harris did the View interview, they asked her, what is one thing you would have done differently? Now, the Trump campaign has also turned this into a campaign commercial, which I think is great. Here's Senator J.D. Vance speaking in Pennsylvania, Williamsport, PA, just a short time ago, cut 41.
When she did this View interview, they said, well, Kamala Harris, what is one thing that you would have done differently than Joe Biden over the last 3.5 years? And you know what she said? Nothing comes to mind. That is, I think, the official tagline of the Kamala Harris campaign for president. Nothing comes to mind, right? That's that.
Nothing comes to mind. I love it. Well, here's what the Trump campaign did, and this one we have the video of. They turned Harris's answer on The View into a campaign ad, okay? Nothing will change. It's a TV ad that's playing in the battleground states, including our own in Pennsylvania. And it begins with the question of Sonny Hostin asking Kamala Harris, what would you do differently than President Biden during the past 4 years? What would you have done differently? Cut 21.
Flood of illegals, skyrocketing prices, global chaos, and Kamala wouldn't change a thing.
Would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind.
Nothing will change with Kamala. More weakness, more war, more welfare for illegals, and even more taxes. Only President Trump cut middle class taxes, and only President Trump will do it again.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
I knew they were going to turn it into an ad, and good for them for doing so. Excellent. Excellent job. Excellent job with that. That's good. Here is a question that was asked here. This is something else I have here. Let me come back to that in a second. Cut 43, MSNBC at an early voting location in Arizona, where they could not find anyone who would say this out loud. What is it they wouldn't say out loud in battleground state Arizona? Cut 43 from far right wing MSNBC.
And I should note, we did not find a single person who audibly would tell us that they voted for Kamala Harris. These were Trump supporters getting out to vote early in the all-important Mojave County. Take a listen to some of our conversations.
Well, the difference is going to be that everybody's coming out early. And everybody that we talked to has made a special effort this year to vote. And it's you can see it here in the parking lot. You know, this library's usually got 5 cars in it. There's a ton of cars in it now.
So you voted early for the first time?
For the first time.
Why did you vote early this year?
Honestly, because Donald Trump told me to.
What a good answer.
He keeps saying it, and I've been thinking about it, and here I am.
We met one man who did not vote in 2020, but he said he was horrified by the state of the country, so he is voting here in 2024. We met 3 other voters, one that moved from California, one that moved from Oregon, blue states, who said that they moved here and were eager to vote in a state where Donald difference. And so it's those types of voters that not only Republicans are watching come to the polls, but also Democrats have a close eye, understanding that they need to really win the Maricopa County area to make up for any potential juicing of turnout here among the MAGA faithful in places like Mojave County.
There is a story of thehill.com today. Donald Trump leading among early voters in the swing states. This is a big deal. Trump edges out Harris with early voters in battleground states. And former President Trump has a slight lead over Kamala Harris with early voters. A Harvard Caps Harris poll found 48% of voters who said they would cast their ballots early in critical swing states picked Trump, while 47% sided with Harris. Another 5% of respondents said they went with another choice or had not yet voted. Trump's swing state strategy is paying off, said Mark Penn, co-director of the poll. Among all voters in the key swing states, Trump was up 2 points with 48% support to Harris's 46%. I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but you got to realize in these close elections, when Republicans typically vote later, having this kind of a lead in early voting is huge. It's massive. Because this whole thing is a sea change. The early voting, Republicans embracing early voting is something that has been an uphill battle. Getting Republicans to have faith in the system to do it, get those mail ballots in, vote early in person, send the mail ballots back in, drop off boxes, whatever it is. That's a big deal. So to see that, to understand that is critical. So you can't just go, oh, it's a slight lead. No, that's huge. That's huge. When you consider the advantage Democrats had in early voting in 2020 versus now. Not only that, too, but here's another number that I have for you, which I thought is really, really important to mention as well. Pennsylvania had a very good early morning update today, and Republicans will be excited to know that they won the ballot requests overnight this time. Republicans requested 13,400 new ballots overnight. Democrats only requested 10,800. Ballot return gap falls another 1% overnight. Democrats are below 66%. Republicans are rapidly accelerating their ballot requests and returns in this election, which is huge. Huge. So don't let the 2% or whatever fool you. This is the equivalent of getting me to eat pineapple pizza and going, well, Rich only ate 1% of pineapple pizza. No, it's such a sea change with so many Republican voters who wanted to just vote on Election Day. And to have that kind of an early, that to be willing to accept and change the mindset means that the enthusiasm factor is there that's going to carry forward from now until Election Day. And I keep coming back to this point. We're running out of time here in Pennsylvania to vote early, but they're begging you. And you heard Chairman Whatley on the show yesterday say it too. Vote early. Do it. Bank that vote, please. Just get it done. But these numbers are huge numbers. They really are. And, you know, you listen to that clip. And again, it's far right wing MSNBC. I get it. Take it with a grain of salt. But still, it's a big deal. It's a very, very big deal. Cut 44 from far right wing CBS. In the past few elections, we've seen the Latino electorate has been shifting. They even used the word skyrocket here. Cut 44.
A mile from here, former President Donald Trump is holding a town hall with Latino voters. Why are they such an important voting bloc for both sides? Well, in the past few elections, we've seen that the Latino vote, the Latino electorate, has sort of been shifting away from the Democrats, and particularly here in South Florida, we've seen it skyrocket for the Republicans. A mile from here,
Skyrocket for the Republicans. Boom. Boom. This is, again, these are big deals. These are big changes. But perhaps Joy Reid can convince everybody against this. A little bit later in the show, I'm going to play you what may be the craziest cut of the day. It's very, very possible. I know we're very audio heavy. This is what happens in election season. We wind up getting very audio heavy because there's a lot of clips and there's a lot of cuts. And I also got into the Senate debate that happened last night between McCormick and the lesser Casey. But this is a great, great reporter asking Beta Boy Tampon Tim Walz, are voters really supposed to believe Kamala Harris has suddenly changed her mind on fracking? This is a video clip as well. We'll show you on our streaming on YouTube right now, youtube.com/1210WPHT. Cut number two.
A very important industry, natural gas here in Pennsylvania. 4 years ago, candidate Harris was going to ban fracking. She has now changed her position. Do you think the voters are going to buy that she has changed her mind in 4 years? And how important is this industry to Pennsylvania and America?
Yeah, well, 4 years ago she said it and 4 weeks ago she said it, and it is important. I think what people are going to recognize is America's producing more natural gas and more oil than at any time in our history, but we're also producing more clean energy jobs that gives Pennsylvania a bridge to the future. Look, that's simply the fact on this. Donald Trump wants to make somewhat of an issue. The vice president's been very clear.
You know what the reporter should have asked the follow-up? Why does the Biden administration still have a ban on the export of liquid natural gas right now? Here's another question the reporter could have come back with and asked Tampon Tim. What about this? Will they support the construction of liquid natural gas export facilities in Pennsylvania, like right in Philadelphia, for example, right in South Philly? Will they? Yes or no? And do not believe the lies here that we're doing more natural gas and drilling now, that the Biden administration has anything to do with it. That's being done in spite of the Biden administration trying to stop that from occurring. And here's a flashback for you. A flashback of Kamala Harris pledging to prosecute oil companies over climate change. She said this all the way back in 2019. Let's get in the DeLorean and go back so far to 2019 here. Cut number three.
Will you order your Justice Department, your Attorney General, to investigate Chevron and Shell companies for their part and their damage to our planet in this climate crisis?
So thank you for that. And again, I will tell you what I've done, not just what I'm going to do. Which means that I'm saying about these big oil companies and these fossil fuel companies, look, you should be really prepared to look at a serious fine on your charge for crime. Because here's the thing. These big oil companies and these fossil fuel companies have been making so much money and profiting off of this pollution. And who are the most vulnerable to what we're talking about, polluted air and water? It's our communities. It's poor people, it's communities of color. And not unlike the tobacco companies that for years knew, because they've done the research. They knew the harm that their product was causing. They were making so much money that they kept that secret. Same thing with these big oil companies. And they need to pay the price. So yes, it's the answer.
Let's think about that for a second. It goes with the theme of what I've been talking about with misinformation and disinformation, does it not? They knew their products could kill. They knew the harm of their product. Their product is oil. Their product is the gasoline we put in our cars. Their product is the oil that powers this country. They knew how dangerous their product was, and they lied to us. They're trying to do the tobacco thing against oil companies. And they'll go after him for misinformation and disinformation, too. They're already doing this. I mean, there are civil lawsuits over this in various blue states around the country, suing these oil companies over the idea, it's civil, not criminal, but civil, over the idea that they spread misinformation or they downplay the harmful effects of climate change. Listen, I can prove to you that somebody has lung cancer. You can't prove that the oil that we burn is causing climate change. These are theories. They'll tell you that the scientific consensus is, but it's not something you can prove. If you're a smoker for 52 years and you get lung cancer, you can kind of make the conclusion, all right, yeah, you got lung cancer because you smoke. They're trying to make that equation, though, to say, well, big tobacco knew it was harmful and they lied. Okay, well, that's a cigarette, though. We're talking about oil. This is a resource to power this country and fuel our economy. What is the harm that they're hiding here? Well, climate change. And they knew it caused climate change. And how do they know that? How does anyone know that? You're talking about a theory here. This is a theory. Well, as the science, the overwhelming consensus of the scientific community is that this is a product that causes climate change. And they know that. And they should have told us that and blah, blah, blah. Just so you know, just so you understand. This is what I talk about when I tell you that the war for information and misinformation is the battle we are at the crossroads of this in America right now. Right now. Understand this point. I cannot emphasize this enough to you. It is that critical. All right, as we continue along the show here, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Winter's coming, as you know. How is your backyard doing with the water and the rains and everything else? If you got water problems, you better do it right now. Reach out to my buddy Lou Vargo at Garden State Earthworks. GardenStateEarthworks.com. He's the best, and he'll drain that water away and save you so much time and aggravation and save you a lot of money, too. Just go to GardenStateEarthworks.com or give him a buzz at 856-848-4444. Easy number to remember, 856-848-4444. Now, he's very busy this time of year because smart people know they got to deal with their water problems before winter comes. Is that water will freeze and thaw and freeze and thaw and cause you all kinds of aggravation. Lou will get the job done, guaranteed. 856-848-4444. Do it today. Reach out to him today. And he'll make you a priority if you call because you tell him I sent you. Now, we had a very, very wet, soggy backyard. We moved into our new house, and they drain the water away, and we love our backyard now. You don't want that stagnant, standing water. Breeds mosquitoes and will get into your house, cause you all kinds of problems, cause your pool damage. Deal with it because water problems never get better on their own. GardenStateEarthworks.com, 856-848-4444.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Yeah, baby, that's right. We are cooking with gasoline today. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it very, very much. Got some great guests coming up. The rest of the show, too. We got some great guests, 5 o'clock hour and 6 o'clock hour, so I'm excited for that. But I wanted to share with you, we'll get into this in the 5 o'clock hour, Donald Trump talking about IVF and the abortion issue comes up today at the town hall meeting he did with the ladies. And thanks for all your great song recommendations for my friend who's dating a whack job. Hopefully he'll get the hint, is all I can tell you. You always, you know, whenever you got a buddy who's dating a whack job, it's always like as a guy, you feel a responsibility to let him know. But at the same time, love is blind, as they say, love is blind. And, you know, if she's crazy enough, you'll be blind when she stabs you in the eye. So just keep that in mind. You know what I mean? Like Olivia Newsy. Oof, man, that story is freaking nutso. That is nutso. I'm getting interrupted again on text message. What is it now? Oh, Dana Perino wants me on her show tomorrow at 9:15 a.m. Hell no. I'm not doing it. All right? I'm not whoring myself out like this again. What am I, a piece of meat? Is that what it is, Matt DeSantis? What am I, some sort of a piece of meat? This? Unacceptable. Unacceptable.
You're in high demand.
These Fox bookers interrupting my show, my train of thought. Don't they know I have the attention span of a gnat? How are you spelling that anyway? Is it G-N-A-T? Gnat? Why is the G? What's with the silent G? What's with that? Who decided that was a thing? Like, why is that even a thing?
But, when, you know, when in doubt, we blame British people.
Yeah, I do. You know what? I hate the Brits, right, Justin? You know this?
I am 100% in agreement with you.
They burned down the White House, and I have no use for those people. None whatsoever. Don't give me World War II and all that. I hold the grudge, all right? I hold the grudge. Burn down the what? Not in my country. You don't burn down my White House. Not me. I don't forgive. I don't forget. Damn right. All right, fine. I guess I'll do it tomorrow morning, 9:15. Fine. Means I got to get up before 12. All right, 855-839-1210. We got a big 5 o'clock hour straight ahead for you, brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Let's talk about what Trump said on the issue of abortion and IVF and how that will play in Pennsylvania. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.